Good morning. It is 9:03 and you're listening to WPRK Winter Park, Florida, and this is the Sandspur Hour. I'm joined with Amir Sade.
Hi, guys.
And I'm
joined with Greg Golden.
Good. I was hoping you would
yes.
return the favor over here.
I was about to. Yes.
So we got some show for you today. What we do on this program is talk about what's going on at Rollins, what's going on in the local community, what's up with the country, and special shout out to the world.
Woot woot.
So, you know, we do this every Monday from 9 to 10.
It's quite wonderful. It's a nice engagement.
Quite wonderful. And if you're wondering what the Sandspur is, it is the student newspaper of Rollins College, which is fully produced and functioning by a student staff of newspaper employees.
Yes.
Producing a weekly paper that comes out on Thursdays all across Rollins campus that covers the same sorts of things. Campus, community, some country, some world.
Yes.
But certainly, excuse me, specific to our local area. So, what do we got on today's show?
Syria. The whole country of Syria is on our show. And it's been a very bad boy.
Yeah, so it's going to get a stern talking to. And so, just before
we get started
with that, then what do we have?
Well, we have, we're going to be talking about some confessions.
That's right. For some reason, this isn't playing. Okay, but first, we do have a report brought to you by Teletraffic. If you are on I-4 eastbound, there is a vehicle fire past Maitland Boulevard, and the right lane is blocked. Fire rescue is on the scene. Also eastbound, approaching John Young Parkway to Amelia Street to Fairbanks Ave past Maitland Boulevard, there is congestion on I-4 going west from Dirksen Drive to approaching St. John's River Bridge. There's about a 16-minute delay, as well as past Lake Mary Boulevard to Maitland Boulevard. Expect 36 minutes of travel time there. In Orange County, there is police on the scene in Silver Star Road at Hiawassee. In Pine Hills, your alternative could be Colonial Drive if you're trying to make it around there. But there are two right lanes blocked. And Colonial Drive at Goldenrod and Azalea Park. There is fire rescue on the scene with road blockage, so please consider University Boulevard or Lake Underhill Road as an alternate. And in Seminole, at Tuscarora Road approaching Dyke Road, there is road blockage with police on the scene. Consider Dodd Road as an alternate. And at County Road 46A at I-4, fire rescue is on the scene. Consider using... State Road 46 or Lake Mary Boulevard as an alternate. We will be having another update halfway through our show at 9:30. If you are interested in an update, but that's our traffic report. Amir wisely moving his microphone away to cough, which I was did not have the liberty to do.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
But that's okay. Getting everybody sick.
I've been hearing that strep is the thing that's been spreading around campus.
Strep,
especially in Ward.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Unsubstantiated rumors, but
there's been a lot of RA talk. Trust me.
RA talk.
It's been fun.
That should be another show. RA talk.
Can we get RA? Oh, if only we could have like an RA confessional show.
Ooh.
I would love that.
Confessions is a dirty word right now.
I know. It's like that's the buzzword. That's the taboo word.
Yeah.
It's what you're not supposed to say.
Just like juicy was. Times gone by.
Or the letters A, C, and B.
Right.
In that order.
Read consecutively.
So, I mean, I guess we should just jump into it, right?
Yeah, let's just jump into it right.
So, I guess we've somewhat talked about this in the past, right? Like, we've kind of teased this and talked a little bit, but
we've teased and talked.
Rollins Confessions is a thing, folks.
Yeah, it's a thing, and it's spreading across campus, And it started over the summer and got a certain amount of popularity and a certain amount of participation that really you would think that school would have to be in session to create.
Nah, that is not the case. It was pretty bumping way before school even started.
Right. And so what this is a Facebook page in which individuals can submit confidentially and anonymously a confession of sorts.
Of sorts.
They could range from activities that they've participated in on campus that might be scandalous or nefarious in nature. It could range from an insult of another person on campus.
Some shade, if you will.
Some shade could be tossed lightly.
Lightly, of course.
Some lightly tossed shade. And then, I don't know, there are some compliments on the confessions page.
There are some compliments. I think it's also important to note that there are also the possibility of many fictitious things.
Many
fictitious. Fictitious.
Yes.
Sorry. Fictitious things that are on the thing as well.
Sure.
On the page.
Anonymous. How are you going to verify whether or not someone did some dirty, dirty thing on Dinky Dock?
Or pretty much any surface of this campus.
Right. Bring your Purell.
I would say hazmat suit, but okay, good luck with that Purell.
Okay. So, you know, a lot of activities have been brought up, a lot of locales mentioned, and that was before even the semester started.
Yes, I think that a lot of it was like, it started off as like sophomores, juniors, and seniors just like venting and just kind of like, oh, this is life, whatever. And then freshmen got super excited because they're like, oh my god, like this is Rollins. It's crazy. Like I didn't know it was all like this. I didn't know Rollins kids were ratchet.
Yep.
That was my, dramatization, if you will, of a freshman.
Freshman
who,
voice.
Wide-eyed. Man, I can't believe this. This is so cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then once the first years got into it, they just kind of went rolling with it, so.
So what does the page look like now? Do you go on it?
Yeah, I like it.
I don't know how I feel about it,
like, on like, a moralistic stance or, you know, what have you.
We'll get into that.
But the gossip, I have liked, to be fair, because I'm very much a, I like to look at both sides of an issue, and therefore I've liked both the Rollins Confessions and Rollins Compliments pages, just to be fair and equal opportune. And right now the Rollins Confessions page was very much like the way it was, albeit with some changes, which I think, I guess we'll be talking about soon, that were made via summons, law, legal briefing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gotten up to almost 1,000 page likes, 949.
That's a bunch.
So it's a thing. Yes, it is a bunch. It's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So in what ways have you seen the page change from what we saw over the summer to what the kids are getting into these days now that we're a couple weeks in?
I mean, I would think that, I mean, a lot of it some aspects are the same because it is kind of like goofy and whatnot, but I think also now it's starting to be more, it almost is like a chronology. Like now it's starting to, what used to be very like, maybe general things about Rollins, like now it's starting to talk about like, I hooked up with this girl at Roxy last night. It was cray or something. You know, it's starting to like chronologize real time events, and it's kind of fascinating. And also, it's like it's I think that's the biggest difference. Is like now you can be like, oh my god, I was at that place last night. That could have been so and so. And then it becomes more, like, sensationalist because then your mind is going, like, now it's not, like, this random person that you probably never met on campus. Now it's the possibility of, like, oh, snap, I was at so-and-so's party, and they mentioned so-and-so's party. Who could that have been? And then your mind runs wild. And
yeah.
You just get more excited about the next confession.
Right. So, in anticipation of covering this story, we reached out to the confessions administrator, who...
I would like to call he or she the confessions master.
Confessions master.
Confessions master.
So, what this confessionista decided to share with us.
Confessionador.
Not his or her identity, of course.
No.
That will probably remain a secret for a while. We don't know it.
Yes.
But through, you know, the channels of messaging the Rollins Confessions page, this individual shared with us a few answers to the burning questions we have about why it got started.
Burning.
And how long it may last. And so we had asked why he or she decided to create the page. And the response was, I actually found out about this whole confessions craze by stumbling upon the collegeconfessions.com website after doing some Google searches. Many great things happen after Google searches. That was an editor's note by me. And, where was I? There were a ton of schools that had confessions pages, and we didn't. And it has been fun reading all of these confessions that range from the sweet and heartfelt to the freakishly bizarre. And it goes on to say that the administrator hopes to reach 1,000 likes. They're in the 900s right now.
Yeah.
And tell me about this legal action.
Yes. Yes, it's juicy. I don't think it's all any no longer on the page itself. It was actually bookmarked at one time so you would see it right at the top. But what happened was, the person actually posted a legal notice that lawyers from Rollins had sent to them. It was pretty much like a cease and desist order, which it was saying your website does not clearly distinguish itself, as not being Rollins affiliated. We believe that this will confuse prospective students and hurt the brand and image of Rollins, and we want you to do so-and-so things, like change the profile pic logo,
which was a straight Rollins logo.
Exactly.
The R used for athletics.
And the cover photo, which was the actual over-the-shot headshot of Rollins, so like a Google Earth image of Rollins.
Mm-hmm. Which, in the letter, it was claimed that that was a copyrighted image.
Yes. And I guess, and then what they changed with that is, let me see.
It's like a bracket with an R in it that says confessions below it. So just like a pretty crude rendering of like, look, here's Rollins colors and an R with a box around it.
But with the cover photo of, because what they did for that, of the colleges overhead, they added the text, if it was not already completely obvious, completely all caps, dot, 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 this page is not affiliated with Rollins College in any way whatsoever.
Right. This page is affiliated not.
Yes. It is very cheeky. But the thing that's gotten kind of the really big news about the legal notice is the example that they used when talking about how the website administrator, the confessions master, again, if you will, was being reckless with some of the things that he allowed or she allowed to be posted. One of those was the quotation, Miss Norbury is a sad old drug pusher. Why is that funny, you may ask?
Well, a cursory glance of Rollins' directory will find not a person with that name, but go on.
So not only is there no person at the Rollins staff, administration, professor, whatever have you, but that is actually a direct quote from the movie, the Lindsay Lohan masterpiece, Mean Girls.
Yeah.
It kind of baffles me when 15 lawyers can write up a legal summons and yet none of them can use Google.
Perhaps that one was looking into as an example of, you know, trying to ruin someone's reputation or something.
And yet, Craig, Google.
Oh, Google. Yeah, we just talked about how Google assisted the Rollins confession master creating the page. However, the lawyers were not as adept at the Googling, perhaps.
Oh, well.
I would just like to read off another quote from our confession friend.
Go for it.
Using friend loosely, again, we do not know this individual's identity. He or she maintains that there is a censorship policy in place, having written, I think we have been pretty good about not letting the truly mean confessions through, or at least editing them to make them generic enough that they do not single out a person in a negative way. If we accidentally let something through that is derogatory towards an individual, we welcome messages to let us know, and we are quick to take those confessions down. I am so sick of people saying this page doesn't represent our school, and it's like high school. It's a silly page with things that happen at our school. If you don't want to be connected or associate with it, don't like the page and stop posting on it. It's that simple.
Snap! Confession Master Strikes Back!
So, do you think that that's true that, hey, if you don't like it, don't go on it. It's not going to hurt you?
Yeah. It's kind of like television. If you don't like the show, change the channel. If you don't want to see the confessions, don't like the page. My point of contention would be that there are, because we are such a small campus, even if something is worded vaguely, if there's any indication as to who the person may be, the sorority they're a part of, the fraternity they're a part of.
Really anything and a first name will pretty much,
tip you off as to who the person is, especially if the person has like a really like recognizable name. Like for instance, and I'm not saying there has been a confession of this person, but I can think of one person who has a very interesting name who just graduated, who everybody knows. And
sure, I know tons of people who that person was the only person
was the only person with that name that came into this college. And then, like, if they wrote a confession about that person, everybody would know.
Right.
And there's no way to, like, you know. So, yes, it's much easier with very bland or generic names like Timmy and Bill and Johnny and Sally. But when but we're a very diverse campus. We have many people.
Lots of confessions about that Sally.
Oh, Sally.
Oh well. Just kidding, folks.
But yes. Yeah, so I think that's my one point of contention. While I love the concept of, you know, you do you, as they would say, as the kids say, you do you. I also very much would say to the confessions master, just continue being cautious. So, you know, obviously you can't get them all, but just realize that every time you do accidentally let something slip through the cracks, that one person gets royally in trouble, I guess. I can't use the word that I want to use, but yeah.
Right. Let's say I'm still a student, which I'm not, folks. Big reveal.
Oh!
And I wrote on my blog, you know, Amir Sadeh, et cetera, bad things, bad things.
What? Bad things, bad things?
I made them up.
Oh, no!
So, what sort of action could be taken against me for writing a blog post in which I name you, I say bad things about you, and I publish it to my blogger?
I believe I could sue you for libel.
Really?
Yes, because, or is it slander? I always forget which one it is.
One or the other.
It's one or the other. I forget, one is said and one is written.
Oh, okay.
That's why. But I could sue you because I know who you are, and I could actually go, hey, Gregory Golden, what you said was a lie, a falsehood. People think I've done bad, bad things when I haven't done bad, bad things, and my mother can't look at me the same anymore. Here's a legal summons. We're going to court.
So a blog can do that to you now?
To some, yeah, depending on how malicious it can be. I mean, if people have lost their jobs due to blogs, so it's not, it's not in the saying, but if what your words do causes me continued harassment on campus, so if what you say causes people to say, Amir's done bad, bad things, Amir, you a bad, bad man, doing bad, bad things, and it causes, like, starts to affect my life on campus, making me ostracized, having me to have to move out, causing, in effect, monetary loss, and if I have to transfer overall, I have a legal case.
So what happens if, like you're saying, a confessions post occurs, you have one of those names, And what if, let's say you've already ignored the page, you know, you're done with confessions, that comes up, and it starts to affect your reputation.
It becomes much more difficult. Because, to some extent, there are organizations like College Confidential have some stated policy to try and limit legal action against it. Saying that this is for fun and for entertainment and this isn't, you know, and that they do their utmost to be as, you know, up top to censorship and making sure that nobody's real name gets out or whatnot. Also, the practical thing is you don't know the actual person who wrote it. So unless the confession site is willing to divulge that information via, so that you can officially sue that person or go out and sue that person, your really only case is against that confessions master and College Confidential. And not to say that there hasn't been precedent set before, but it is very difficult. It's much more difficult to go after a confessional organization or confessional site as opposed to if you, Greg Golden, wrote something specifically about Amir Sadeh.
Okay. And so, do you think it matters whether the Rollins populace is considering these to be fact or not?
I think either way, if you write something about a person, whether it be factual or not, people who don't like that person are going to run with it. Either way, even if they don't think, even if they may know it's ridiculous, any ammunition that they can, they will use against that person and mercilessly make fun of them or whatever the case is, they'll just use it. So even if it is an obvious falsehood, it's still something that can affect a person. It's still something that can be used in a way to alienate and to discourage.
Mm-hmm. And part of what we mentioned earlier about, you know, these aren't verified. There are things like mean girl quotes getting through.
Oh my gosh.
There's one I see that was published with the article that says, I once set a squirrel loose in the pillow room. I'm not certain of the logistics of that.
Yes, I don't know if that's necessarily, it was a thing that actually happened.
Of course, yeah.
But yes, probably. but that's the thing. But it's like, you know, so a lot of it is kind of like, oh.
Cheeky.
And that I'm okay with. I'm okay with like little cheeky, funny, heck, even somewhat, you know, scandalous quotes that are general.
Yeah.
And that don't necessarily specify a person. Mm-hmm. You start walking into dangerous territory when you say even a person's first name, last initial.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's really easy. Thank God we have the Rollins directory. I can easily search that person's name.
By first name.
By first name, and then go by their initial. So it's not... So it's a very slippery slope. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. On one hand, I support it. On one hand, I'm like, yes. Again, you do you. It's your life. Go for it. On the other hand, I caution the confession master.
Mm-hmm.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Amir the caution master over here.
I'm the caution master.
And let's talk quickly about Rollins' compliments.
Compliments!
Which is the counter page that another anonymous administrator created. And this compliment master was hoping to capitalize on creating a yin to the yang of confessions and really try to focus on the positives, the nice things that people were even submitting to confessions and creating a page of that to focus
on. Counteract and counterbalance.
Good things.
Yes.
Like, giving shout outs to people with names and saying, hey, isn't this person a special person to so many people, and et cetera, et cetera, does good things, is a happy person. Yeah. So, yes. How much visiting have you done to that page?
The same, roughly the same. I like to look through it. I personally don't physically like any specific posts from Ron's confessions, but I will like things from Ron's compliments.
Right.
And I like it. I think it's great. My only downside is I'm waiting for my own compliment, kids.
Hey-o.
So friends of mine, I don't know what you're doing.
Where are you at?
Where you at, guys? Because I definitely would love a compliment on the page. And there have been talk on the Ron's Confessions page where, like, people, like, get viscerally, like, annoyed with Ron's compliments. Like, oh, it's too gushy and mushy and blah, blah, blah. And then other confessions will be like, you're just jealous that you don't have a Ron's compliment.
Do
burn. But Ron's compliments, I mean, how can you not like it? It's supposed to spread positivity. It's all about the positive. It's all about, you know, shining a light on people and organizations at Ron's that really just kind of makes the school a better place and keeps it functioning and running. And it's schmaltzy, but it's a good schmaltzy.
And right now, two confessions, 900 or so likes. Ron's compliments has 643 likes, and ranges from such things as, thank you so much to the guy behind me at the C store today who gave me a dollar when I forgot my money. Chivalry is not dead. So see, there's some random shouting out.
Yeah.
There's some specific stuff towards staff members who people will say, you know, hey, so good to work with this person, whatever. So, you know, they're both serving
a purpose.
Yeah. Pretty distinctly. And I don't think it's a stretch to say the college would like to see compliments continue and confessions end.
It's no surprise, but you know, I honestly believe that these things just kind of come and go naturally. It's just very much the way of the world. Soon, after a while, people are probably not going to care about either page. It'll be interesting to see how long they last. And of course, you know, I would love both of them to last. I think both of them are really fun. And, you know, really, you know, one is kind of hits that gossipy aspect and can be like entertaining, you know, nice, like entertaining bit. And then the compliments pages. I think it's like PBS and E! Entertainment.
Okay.
It's like, you know, yeah, you could have one or the other, but you really need both to kind of hit on your two, like, when you're feeling like, I need a Ken Burns documentary, you watch the PBS. If you feel like, no, I need to know what the heck's going on with Justin Bieber, I'm gonna go and check E! Entertainment or the Kardashians or what have you.
Yeah. So before we continue, we have another update from Teletraffic, brought to you by tele-traffic.com. And on I-4 eastbound, there is congestion South Street to past Maitland Boulevard. I-4 westbound, approaching the Longwood Rest area to Maitland Boulevard, there is congestion. The toll roads are reportedly clear. In Orange County, there is still left lane blockage North John Young Parkway at State Road 408. Consider using Orange Blossom Trail as an alternate route there. And in Seminole County in Oviedo, southbound Tuscarawas Road approaching Dyke Road, there is lane blockage with police on the scene. Consider Dodd Road as an alternate. So reportedly, a lot of these incidents have cleared, thankfully, and please stay listening if you want to hear another update at the top of the hour. So, let's hear some music.
Music, oh.
What do you think?
Let me see what I can pull out here.
I think I might have something.
Go for it, Greg.
Yeah.
What will we be listening to? What are the musical stylings of Greg Golden going to be playing today?
It's going to be some George Harrison.
Oh, George Harrison.
Yeah.
Is it?
You know that guy?
Yeah, vaguely. He had a solo career after he did this thing with a band once. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, some insect stuff.
They talked about a road in a submarine. It was all a haze.
It was pretty trippy, you know. At any rate, here's George Harrison with What Is Life? Something must be afoot with the cables here.
Well, that's all right. That's fine. I guess we won't be able to play any music today.
No music, folks. We'll save it for next week.
Oh, yes. We'll play extra music
next
week.
We'll just have to ramble on now.
It's fine. Technical difficulties happen. This is what happens when you have a live show, and I mean live.
Yeah, so time for more of us.
Let's talk more. Let's talk about arguably the biggest thing going on in the world.
Yeah.
Because our world shout-out.
Mm-hmm.
Syria.
When we last spoke of Syria, we talked about the sort of international response that the United States was getting when the possibility of a strike arose. We saw countries such as Russia decline such assistance. We saw traditional allies such as Britain and... Wait, France wants to help.
Britain
doesn't want to help us. And Germany doesn't want to help us. And interestingly enough, you can sort of look at who supported us during Iraq. Britain did. France didn't. There's a flip-flop there. And Germany hadn't then. I don't believe Russia had. But certainly there was a lot more international support, even with countries who now have sort of remained either undecided or not speaking their opinion one way or the other. But what do we know since last Monday?
We know a few things. Well, the reports are always varying because I want to say that we do know, at least to some extent, that chemical weapons, specifically sarin gas, was used in Syria. A lot of factors, though, are unknown. Some people say that they don't necessarily know specifically if it was chemical weapons still. Preliminary shows that there were. British labs did some testing, and they can say that there was chemical weapons used. Sarin gas was used. But the biggest thing that has kind of come up is whether Bashar al-Assad actually called for the chemical weapons to be used, or if they were used by another entity within the government without his knowledge. And he hasn't really confirmed one way or another. His story is, no, we don't have weapons. We don't have anything. And actually, he had an interview with Charlie Rose in Damascus. I want to say yesterday or today. It'll air tonight. It'll air on tonight, actually, at 9 p.m., but he must have recorded over the weekend. And pretty much he said that he denies the administration's claim, and he criticizes U.S. foreign policy. And he also specifically says, and I'm quoting here, he refutes John Kerry's claim that he has seen evidence that the Syrian government used chemical weapons against its own people. Quote, we have the precedent of Colin Powell 10 years ago when he showed the evidence that Iraq had WMDs. It was false and it was forged. And he also goes on to say that he threatened to some extent full retaliation if the U.S. strikes Syria. Quote, you should expect everything. Expect every action. Not necessarily from the government. So, it brings up a two-part, I guess, question or idea, or I guess things, it brings up two things. One of them is the ever-present, and I believe the main reason why many Americans are not for a strike or any intervention in Syria is because of the political capital that the Bush administration squandered after 9/11 and in 2003. The whole yellow cake uranium debacle is something that will forever I mean, will forever be burned in the mind of political scientists and kind of those who look back on the UN. I mean, it pretty much tainted Colin Powell's illustrious career, and he's never been able to fully recover since then. I mean, only recently has he started to become more relevant back in the limelight, a lot of that having to do with his support of President Obama in 2008. So that whole situation really put a sour spot and a sour taste in people's mouth when it came to going into the Middle East, and B, going into the Middle East for supposed nuclear reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always that. And then two is the kind of puffing up of Assad's chest. Some people would say that it shows that he will be utterly defiant, that there's no point in doing a missile strike because it's not going to deter him. And I believe that's what he wants. I think doing this interview with Charlie Rose was a perfect platform for him to kind of say, we didn't do this. We didn't use chemical weapons on our people. We don't have chemical weapons. But if the United States strikes us, we can't be held responsible with what actions we may or may not do as a country. So it's very fascinating to see this interview and to see what he has to say, and even just these few quotes that they've kind of blurbed and leaked. The situation in Syria is getting worse. And unfortunately, while people have probably just recently figured out what's going on in Syria, this has been a 2-year debacle. Like, the 1,400 people that died via this chemical attack, or some would say alleged chemical attack, this is only a drop in the bucket to the thousands upon thousands of people who've been killed over the last 2 years. And it's a very complex issue. It's a very complicated issue. And there's a lot that goes into it. But I think that the biggest things that we can take away right now is this Assad interview has happened, and it's going to bring an interesting light to the debate. And Obama, he is doing a big, what's in the industry is called a big media play, to go out. I believe he's doing doing a national address on Tuesday for support on Syria to kind of sway the American voters' opinion. So hopefully that will translate to Congress and their senators. Because right now, the way it stands, while the Senate committee approved it, if this were to go to Congress, the order to strike Syria would pretty much fail. Would mm-hmm. pretty much fail completely. So, yeah. So that's kind of where we're at right now when it comes to the situation in Syria.
2 points that NPR had reported on this morning as facts, well, not facts, but things stated by Assad in the interview that will be airing soon, is that, one, he claimed that the rebels had enacted the chemical strike to make it appear that the government had, and another one was that support of al-Qaeda would come in the wake of a U.S. strike, which I think is alluded to when he says the actions wouldn't be from our government.
Yes, the thing that people don't necessarily understand, and I talk about it in my article, because we have a pro-con piece coming out. You have to understand that no side is perfect. Bashar al-Assad is a ruthless regime holder, learned all of his lessons from his father, who ran the country before him, and is currently supported by Hezbollah and the Iranian government, which means that, in essence, he'll have a nearly unlimited supply to troops, weapons, and other forms of aid, at least within the Middle East, for the time being. So there is that. But on the other hand, unfortunately, the rebels aren't perfect either, because while there are democratic and really forward-looking secularists within the rebel movement. There are Al-Qaeda, Muslim Brotherhood, and Salafi, which are extreme Sunni Muslims, as well within the rebels, within the rebel organizations as well. So the problem is you have, you're stuck, when you're Obama, you're stuck between a hard, rock and a hard place. You want to stop the regime from doing the horrible things it's doing to its people, but you also want the rebels to be able to stay around and give Bashar al-Assad a fight so that he, A, can't impact other people and cause other messes in the Middle East, but B, you want them to last as long as possible so that they can get rid of those extremists and create a democratic hegemony. Or for, because if they take over too soon, then it becomes a civil war between Al-Qaeda, the Salafis, and the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And then what you could may end up having is another Al-Qaeda run country in the Middle East, and not just Afghanistan. This is Syria we're talking about, which has huge resources to play with. And if Al-Qaeda was to get a hold of Syria, if you were worried about a war now, you'll be really worried. I mean, the possibility of a war really becomes evanescent then.
And so what it's important to take from that, many things, but one of them is that it's not that there's two parties who are warring here. It's the government and it's several different groups that are against the government, each of whom, if they were to overthrow the government, they would each then be vying for power in the country.
Exactly.
So it's not just a matter of us helping a group that is going to be seeking democracy, be seeking equality in different ways, and the different sort of tenets that the United States looks for in regimes to support internationally. It would then become arguably even more complicated to then either, from the United States perspective, choose a specific partner to help within that group, or let really a civil war break out.
The best example to say is Iraq. After we got rid of Saddam Hussein, it ended up becoming a fight between the Kurds, the Sunnis, and the Shias. And what ended up happening is now there's a Shia government in Iraq, which is systematically pretty much prejudiced against the Sunni population and has been implementing policies that are not the most favorable to Sunnis to kind of punish them for having a Sunni regime over the last, last few decades. So it's mm-hmm. very much now the fact that it's Shia run in Iraq. Now they're using their power to kind of abuse the Sunnis. And it's very much the same similar situation can occur in Syria, especially if extremist Sunnis come to power. So if the Salafis were to come to power or the Wahhabist Al-Qaeda were to come to power as well. So it's a very complicated issue. But on the other hand, you look at Syria and you can't help but make parallels to Rwanda. And you have a country that is begging for help, but we are all very hesitant not to go in and help. Now, it's not completely the same, but it is very similar. And I think the one difference, though, is two differences is A, like I've mentioned, our losing of political capital, and B, the second one, is that there isn't one side, this isn't one side killing the other side. It's not Hutus killing Tutsis. Like, it is conglomerations of different groups and organizations that are some are for democracy, some are for dictatorship, some of them are just in the middle just trying to live their own lives, and that's where it becomes way more complicated than do we strike, do we not strike, do we put in troops, do we not put in troops, do we just wait till it all kind of fizzles out and then pick up the pieces later, and et cetera.
Mm-hmm. So we will be having future updates about Syria, and this will probably be a very definitive couple of weeks coming where a lot of decision-making will be coming from our government. And what's something you can look forward to this week? Dr. Mikhail Kuku. You know how to pronounce his name, do you?
No.
Mikhail Kuku. Let's go with that.
Yes.
A physicist.
Famous physicist.
Famed physicist. Futurist.
Yes.
Best-selling author.
Before we get to that, I also wanted to tease, we a little bit talked about it, but you can get more on obviously the Syria coverage on the pro and con piece that will be coming out on this Thursday's edition of the Sanspur.
That's right, and you may also find that on the sanspur.org starting this Thursday.
Yes. But yes, Kuku is very well known within the physics community. As I think I would have mentioned before, he was pretty much in charge of he was the go-to man of the media during the whole Fukushima power plant hurricane crisis.
Yes.
Earthquake, thank you. Why did I say hurricane?
Hurricanes are in the Atlantic.
Yeah. But
tsunami.
Yes. Tsunami. I think that was, yeah. So what happened is he's coming. He has a very interesting talk this coming Thursday, from the Winter Park Institute. It's a little bit of a shame because he ended up having to replace Neil deGrasse Tyson, who I can say personally, I was very excited to see him come, but still a very good replacement, still very interesting physicist who has a lot to talk about and a lot to bring, to the table.
Mm-hmm. And so, let's take a brief look at his, Twitter. I'm on it.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Here's what he says. In November, I will be part of a new Science Channel 6-part program. It was called This Changes Everything. The new title is Futurescape. So you can see him, you know, on the telly talking about this and that. One of his projects is unifying Einstein's theories. That sounds like a big task.
Somewhat.
And he also says, June 26th, I appear briefly in the Brad Pitt movie World War Z. I am in the opening segment where they show newsreels from CNN, etc. This guy's...
I love that.
Star of a stage... Not stage. Star of film and screen. TV screen.
Wow.
He also has a national radio show, Science Fantastic, on Sirius XM Radio every Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m. on Channel 244.
Yes.
And he invites people to ask him questions by calling a national number and recording their comment, a number which you can call 24/7, anytime, day or night.
Anytime, day or night.
And then he doesn't post very often, but he seems to give a shout-out to different things that he's doing. Hey, he's followed by Michael Ian Black.
Fun.
Yeah.
Little droplets of news.
Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to seeing this guy in action. I think it's safe to say that we can, once he speaks, we'll say, Neil deGrasse Tyson would have been great, but hey, this guy just surprised us.
Mind blown.
Mind blown is your anticipated response.
I'm hoping.
All right.
I'm hoping.
I hope so, too. So that will be on this Thursday. Hey, let's find out the details to that event.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes, I agree.
What are you doing here?
I got class.
Oh, that's right. Amir has to go to class.
Yes.
What am I thinking?
Yes, I'm slowly preparing. I have a 10 a.m., so I am, unfortunately, I can't stay for the whole show, but I can stay until the last 5 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that last week it was Labor Day, so you couldn't stay. this guy's ducking out on me, and I'm wondering what
he's doing. Yeah, he's giving me this face, like, he mouths, like, what are you doing? I'm like, Craig, I have class.
Yeah.
It's like, I would love to stay, but I don't think my professor would appreciate it, especially if he or she heard me on the radio and were like, oh, so that's what you like to do instead of come to class. Like, I'm sorry.
Well, that individual should just tune in. Why are they not tuning in?
Folks, I'll see you next week.
All right. See you later. You know where I'll see him later? Why, at tonight's article assignment meeting for the Sandspur, which occurs every Monday night from 6 to 6:30 p.m. in the Sandspur Tower, the fifth floor of the Mills Building, wherein all students, staff, and faculty of Rollins College can come and share what they would like to see in the paper. They can sign up for articles. They can inquire about different positions that are available on our staff. We are always looking for writers, photographers, and people looking to create their own role at our newspaper. As we grow in both size of our print staff and our online presence, we are looking for a webmaster apprentice to hopefully begin working for us in the spring after some training in the fall. But enough about all that. Let's learn more about Dr. Mikao Kaku, who is considered one of the most widely recognized figures of science in the world today. You know when his speech will be? Why, it will be September 12th, this Thursday, at 7:30 in the Alphonse Sports Center on Rollins campus. This is an event free to all members of the campus and community. And in the past, for some of our speakers, like Jane Goodall, people have flown in to be able to get the chance to see some of these exceptional speakers. We've, of course, talked about the impressive lineup that has been put together for this year. And you can look forward to seeing Dr. Mikao Kaku on campus this Thursday. And if you can't make that one, why, on October 2nd, Arun Gandhi will be here on campus, the grandson of Mohandas Gandhi. And I think that speaks for itself. Of course, you can find out more information about any and all Winter Park Institute events at rollins.edu/WPI. You can see this and that on past speakers, including Gloria Steinem, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Paul Simon, and a number of other scholars and luminaries, as the website likes to say. And why, we thank you for listening to the Sandspur Hour. I would like to give you one more quick traffic update. On I-4 eastbound, there is congestion South Street to past Maitland Boulevard. Again, that is eastbound. Teletraffic is reporting. On I-4 westbound, there is congestion approaching the Longwood Rest area to Maitland Boulevard. The toll roads are reportedly delay-free, whereas in Orange County, North Pine Hills, or northbound John Young Parkway in Pine Hills at State Road 408 may use Orange Blossom Trail as an alternate, as the left lane is blocked on the scene with an accident and police on the scene. And Seminole County in Oviedo, southbound Tuscarawas Road approaching Dyke Road, you will find road blockage with police on the scene because of an accident. The alternative there, Dodd Road, suggested. And we thank Teletraffic for their help in helping us deliver that information to you. And in just a moment, we'll be saying goodbye. But this has been the Sandspur Hour, 9 to 10, every Monday morning, where you will get the radio voice of the student newspaper here on the voice of Rollins College and the best in basement radio, WPRK Winter Park, Florida. And now I say goodbye.